Interlude. Taco Donna. There's only one rule in Maz Kanata's castle. Well, okay, there are dozens, even hundreds of rules. If you get up on stage, you have to perform. Don't drink what's in the brown jug. Don't go downstairs. If your animal drops a pile anywhere, you're out. All deals need the approval of Maz before they're done. And if you try to go around her back, she'll take what's yours and what's his and sell all of it to the highest bidder. And for the love of all that is holy, don't mention Maz's eyes unless you want to get into a very long conversation. But there's only one spoken rule. Written, too, in 100 languages, many of them long forgotten, on the wall beyond the bar. All are welcome. No fighting. That rule is simple on the surface, but not easy in the execution, because Maz Kanata's castle has been a meeting place since time immemorial, a nexus point drawing together countless lines of allegiance and opposition, a place not only where friend and foe can meet, but where complex conflicts are worn down flat so that all may sit, have a drink and a meal, listen to a song, and broker whatever deals their hearts or politics require. That's why the flags outside her castle represent hundreds of cities and civilizations and guilds from before forever. The galaxy is not now, nor has it ever been, two polar forces battling for supremacy. It has been thousands of forces, a tug of war not with a single rope, but a spider's web of influence, dominance and desire. Clans and cults, tribes and families, governments and anti-governments. Queens, satraps, warlords, diplomats, buccaneers, droids, slicers, spicers, ramblers and gamblers. To repeat, all are welcome. No fighting. You fight, you're done. How done you are is a permutation left to Kanata herself. Maybe that means you're out on your can. Maybe it means you end up locked away for however long she chooses. Maybe, just maybe, if she really doesn't like you, it means she takes you up on one of her many ships, the Tuolu, a.k.a. the Stranger's Fortune, and forces you to walk the airlock and meet the stars. Sitting at the bar presently is an Imperial officer in the ISB. At least, he thinks he's still with the ISB. Truthfully, Agent Romwell Crass doesn't even know if the ISB is functioning fully anymore. He had been stationed on the Hyborian moon at a black site prison. His family lived there on that moon. His wife, Yaelin, his son, Carwell, his father, Romwell Sr. His friends in the Bureau lived there, too. Crass worked very hard behind the scenes to ensure the transfer of those he came up with in the Empire, because the Hyborian moon was a cushy, easy job. The prison was locked up tight. The work was clean and simple. You got housing by the shore of one of the hot spring lakes. And at the end of it all, a commendation awaited for work performed, for loyalty sustained, for virtue upheld. And then, the rebels came. He won't deign to call them the Republic, new or old. They are anarchist scum, undeserving of the dignity. They came out of hyperspace with a small fleet of ships, and before anyone knew what was happening, hell rained on them from above. They fired on the remaining structures. They fired on the houses. Spears of scourging light rent Romwell's home from the surface. His family was inside when it happened. They are dead now, and he is alive because as rebel scum flooded the prison, he fled to the nearest ship and escaped to hyperspace before they could disable the craft. That was a month ago. He contacted Coruscant. The Bureau there was under siege, and he told them he would show up, provide backup. But he didn't. Instead, he just wandered, floating for a while, weeping over the pictures of his family, screaming in rage at those who had done this. Even now, his eyes grow wet at the thought of it. It's like something wants to crawl up out of him. A screaming monster with breath of fire. He washed up here 2 days ago. He wanted information on whoever did this. Who gave the order to wipe out his home? The Republic prides themselves on being noble. Their snotty noses thick with the mucus of righteousness. And yet how do they justify what they did? Why did they kill his family? His son, Carwell, was only 5. He liked to draw in moon dust. He had an MSE mouse droid unit as a pet. The boy was sweet and fun, and he had a big vocabulary and an even bigger heart. He would one day have made a most excellent Imperial Security Bureau officer. Better than Romwell. Better even than the boy's own grandfather. Now that boy is gone. And it is the rebels' fault. Wonder of wonders. Right here, right now, Romwell sees such a rebel. There, on the far side of the bar, closer to the stage, sits his enemy. The rebel is a lean fellow, with a pretty boy jaw and a swoop of dark hair. On his pilot jacket sleeve is the emblem of the so-called New Republic. He's there with a woman. Their heads nod to the music. Some mad-sounding song from Minlan Weil and the Tam Honil 3. Romwell can read the sign not far away. All are welcome. No fighting. Blah, blah, blah. He knows it. He comprehends it. But he's been drinking. And that rebel is a pilot. The Hyborian moon fell to the rebels. Pilots made that happen. Even now he remembers the trio of Y-wings roaring above his head, dropping their payload. He bets this man flies a Y-wing. Crass decides rather immediately. That rebel scum was one of them. One of his family's killers. Anarchist. Murderer. He's sure of it. He has no reason to be sure of it. But the more he drinks, the deeper his certainty. There comes a moment when the band stops playing, and there's a pause between sets. And once more, the sound of the crowded castle fills his ears. And it's enough to get him to stand. He pays up, slapping a handful of Imperial credits flat on the bar top. Then Romwell pushes his way past a trio of screeching Chadra fan throwing dice in a gambler's trap. He bumps a table of Bravasian guilders licking palmfuls of glittering gems. They squawk at him as he passes. Not that he cares. Passing by a sad-faced Skrilling sleeping next to a round jug of bubbling wine, Romwell hooks a finger around the jug handle and lifts it. It's full. It's heavy. It's perfect. The woman sees him first. Romwell's still in his officer's black. He hasn't changed out of it in a long time. Her eyes go wide, and she grabs the pilot's elbow, and just as the rebel thug turns, Romwell says, his voice oozily slurring from all the drink, "You killed my family!" Then he clocks the rebel across the head. Or rather, he tries to. The jug is heavy, and the rebel traitor isn't drunk. So the pilot moves fast enough to take the hit on the shoulder. He still goes down, though, and Romwell barks a muddy laugh. What surprises him is when the woman stands up and throws a hard, straight punch to his chops. His nose pops like an overripe fruit, and he cries out, staggering backward.
That's not how a lady is supposed to act,
he says. But between the inebriation and the blood running down his face, it comes out,
"That's not how a lady is supposed to act."
Someone grabs his ankle. The rebel. His enemy pulls hard. The whole world goes tipsy-tumble as he falls, crashing hard against a chair. By now, patrons of the castle stand, watching. Freaks in masks, disgusting aliens, sneer-lipped mercenaries. Criminals, the lot of them. He's about to yell at them all to stop their damn staring when the rebel rolls on top of him and starts dropping fists into his gut.
"You blasted Imperial pig!"
The rebel yells, raining punches. Romwell spits his own blood into the rebel's face, then shoves hard with both hands. The pilot crashes backward into a table. Glasses roll and shatter, and then everyone around starts gasping and moving aside. It takes Romwell long, too long, to figure out why. Above him stands a droid. Strangest damn protocol droid he's ever seen. An exoskeleton like burnished bronzium, and peaky spikes coming off the robot's legs, arms, and skull. It chatters at him in some machine language, then repeats in basic with a mechanized female voice.
You have violated the castle's law. The castle is all. Castigation is now imminent.
And I'd violate it again, you damn dirty...
The droid points her hands at him, the fingers splayed out. The tips of those fingers suddenly fire at him like little rockets, each sticking in the fabric of his shirt. He spies 5 thin golden filaments now connecting his chest with her hands via those fingertips. The droid's hands glow. Electricity courses along the filaments. Everything lights up like a supernova. And then it goes dark, like the deepest night. Next thing he knows, he's gasping awake on a filthy cot matted with stinking straw. The chains holding the cot to the brick rattle as he rolls off. His head feels like a kicked pumpkin. He vomits onto his own hands. The floor is damp and cold. There, a door. Old wood, held fast with hinges of ancient iron. At the top of the door is a small window, and Romwell crawls to the door and pulls himself up to that opening. All the while, his brain feels like it's trying to ram its way out of his forehead. He pushes his face against the smaller bars in the window.
Help!
He says, louder again.
Help! We're done for,
says the rebel, who stares out a similar window behind a similar door across the hall. Water drips from the vaulted ceiling above.
Face it, pig, we messed up. Now we have to pay for it. You don't know what you're talking about,
Romwell says, then feels his gorge rising anew. He chokes it back and burps into his hand.
I know there's one law and we broke it. Why'd you come at me like that? I didn't kill your family.
Romwell thinks.
Did I say he did? Maybe he did.
Fine. Not you specifically. But your people. They killed my family. My boy.
The rebel frowns and looks down at fingers gripping the bars.
If that happened, then I'm sorry it happened. But war isn't exactly a game of precision, much as we hope it would be. Whatever helps you sleep at night, scum. Hey, we didn't blow up a whole planet. That was you. I didn't authorize that. And I didn't kill your family. But your belief in this nonsense republic contributed to...
From farther down the hall, a sharp voice commands,
Silence!
It's a woman's voice. Sounds old. Footsteps pad on the stone toward them. The wizened woman, Maz Kanata, reveals herself. She's withered and shriveled like a fruit left too long on the vine. Her hands are behind her back, and she looks to both the rebel and the imperial with puckered eyes pressed behind round, moon-sized lenses. She says.
Listen, Miss Kanata,
the pilot says.
Mrs. Kanata, whatever, we're really sorry for what we did. If that brute didn't think to attack me...
Romwell interrupts.
Brute! Brute! You and your rebels are the brutes! Indiscriminately bombing!
Another shush from Maz Kanata. It echoes like a serpent's chastisement. And Romwell is surprised at how effective it is at clamping both their mouths shut. Maz goes over and grabs a 2-step stool from against the wall, then drags it to the door in front of Romwell's cell. She clears her throat as she steps up onto it. With the boost, she can stare in through the portal.
Let me see you,
she says, adjusting one of the lenses around her eyes.
Come on. Come, come. Closer now.
What is this mad old pirate going on about? He keeps his head back, and she clucks her tongue.
You either come closer, or I'll send Emmy down here again to give you a proper shocking. Hmm?
Grousing, Romwell does as she commands. He leans in, her little raisin eyes pinched to slits, and she wets her lips with a dark purple tongue.
I see pain in your eyes. Loss. Regret. You have caused pain, too. You have given loss.
She puckers her thin lips.
The scales are balanced, it seems. As for your people...
What do you mean, the scales? What about my people?
The Empire is dead,
she declares.
You may think it has life, and everyone else may think it is dying. But I say that it is dead. But just as a carcass gives way to new life, flies and fungus and whatnot, so too with the corpses of the Empire birth new creatures. For now, though, it is dead.
Her hand rattles the lock by the door and then frees it. She steps off the stool and then lets the door drift open.
You are free to go. Do not come back here. And I advise you not to share your pain with the rest of the galaxy. Find peace for yourself, or no good will come to you.
Romwell doesn't know what to say. Should he thank her? Condemn her? Better still to say nothing at all. Instead, he flits his eyes toward the rebel. It's as if she's reading his mind.
Do not worry about him. I'll let him go too. But only after I see your ship in the sky above my castle.
Romwell nods, and Romwell leaves. Later, when he's gone, and when the rebel pilot has gone too, she stands alone on one of her parapets overlooking the waters of Nymeve Lake. She feels pushed and pulled from all sides, and so she goes with it, letting her body sway. ME-89 comes up alongside. She asks the old droid, a droid who has been at this castle longer than Maz herself has been, a droid who has seen so much of this galaxy that to plumb the depths of her databank would be an effort of futility and madness. If Minlan Weil and his band have their beds for the night, and the droid replies that they do.
Peace has returned to the castle,
8D9 says.
Good, good, good. Still, peace has not returned to my heart. Something is off balance. Some stirring in the Force has made the water turbid. Hard to see, but I think it best we be prepared.
Please, define the next course of action.
Get the stranger's fortune ready for flight. I want to have a look around the galaxy. See just what I can see.
Acceptable.
The droid does not belong to her. ME-89 does not belong to anybody. The droid is her own master. As it should be. Maz listens to her go, then closes her eyes and tries to feel the tremors in the galaxy. The weave and weft of a changing force.